Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Jim Grunetsky. Jim, welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Father, for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day. We ask that you implant into our heart the graces that we need for this day and for every day and for this life which you have given us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I'm so glad to have you here, Jim. And as we, you know, start this conversation, I always like to kind of begin hearing about your conversion story, how you came to really know Christ, to follow Christ. Sometimes we call this the encounter experience. But you know, whatever it, you know, however the story might be, I think it's key for us to hear each other's stories, because this is an important part of our witness, is our own story. So I thought maybe you could lead off, just maybe letting us know how you came to know the Lord.
Well, I was I'm a cradle Catholic. My mother and father married. My mother's Catholic. My father was Lutheran till the day he died. So I grew up in a mixed marriage. I have three siblings. We were all raised Catholic, and I did the normal, you know, altar boy thing and learn say the Mass in Latin and all that. And then went off to college and did my own version of the fallen away Catholic. I didn't fall real far, but enough to be challenging, you know, what I was taught and was believing. And then after I graduated and started my career, I met Susan, who eventually became my wife, and Susan had not been baptized at all. And so, but she was very curious and about what all this Catholic stuff is about, and she'd ask me a question, and I'd say, hey, that's a really good question. I don't know the answer to that one. Ask me another one. Oh, that's a good question, too. I don't know the answer to that one either. And so eventually I got tired of saying that and decided I needed to get to work if this was really going to be a serious thing for me. So that's when I really started to delve more into my faith. But I would say that the thing that really jump-started me was at one point early in my career, I was in human resources at Kohl's department stores at the time, and I kept having this feeling about HR at the diocese. Maybe there's an opportunity at the diocese for me to apply my HR interest. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't let go of it. So I said, I got to go talk to somebody. So I went to see my pastor, and we were in his office, and I remember this vividly. He was at his desk, and I was in front of his desk, and he turns around and pulls off a flyer off of his credenza, and he says, here, go on this. And it was a retreat. And it was a Curcio retreat specifically, which is a lay Catholic movement focused on prayer, study, and action. And so you go on this, it was a men's only retreat. My first experience of a retreat, my first experience of a men's retreat, and you come out and you're all ablaze on Sunday night, and Monday morning comes, and it's like, well, now what? And so the whole point of it is small groups. You get involved in a small group, and you meet weekly, and you share where you are with your prayer, study, and action. And that small group experience has been with me ever since. I have always been a small group person. I love small group conversations. I love meeting with people who are like-minded and on the journey and are able to support each other on the journey. And I just think they're wonderful. So that's what happened.
You know, what really strikes me from your story is the idea that these questions from Susan, from your wife, were kind of provoking you. And that it's a very common part of a lot of people's stories, I've found. In fact, my own even, too, that, you know, we are raised in a Catholic environment, what we might call cultural Catholic, and we haven't necessarily taken full ownership of the faith for ourselves, you know, as to consider ourselves not just a member of this faith, but as a, really as a disciple, kind of as a person in a personal relationship. And so we get people who ask us questions, especially as Catholics, about some of the strange things that we might believe or do. And some people react very negatively to that provocation, and they're kind of, you know, even angry. And I think sometimes it even launches people into sort of a negative apologetics. But for other people, it's this sort of, it's really the Lord who's asking these questions of you, not this person, so that you can render an account of your faith. And then it launches you into this, a new way of living. And, you know, it's really an encounter with Christ is through these questions. And I think so often in our catechesis and in our, even in Catholic schools, we're afraid for people to question. And those questions are, that's a crucial way to encounter Christ. So I think that's a beautiful part of your story, and it's really, I think, a testimony that we all need to hear is the importance of those little questions.
And interestingly enough, she became Catholic. She was baptized and confirmed in the same ceremony with my first son in his baptism.
Ah, beautiful.
So
it all works out.
Yeah.
The and it's also, if you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship, and I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me is Jim Granetsky. We've been talking about his own coming to know the Lord, and Curcio was an important part of your journey. Where did you do your Curcio here in Columbus?
Or? No, I was in Milwaukee.
No, when you were up there. And, you know, it's you know, a very powerful part of a lot of people's story. Even Ralph Martin, who's, you know, somewhat, the founder of Renewal Ministries, you know, he's written a lot of great books, The Fulfillment of All Desires, but his story really started with Curcio. So it was a very powerful gift which the Lord had given to the church.
Yeah, and of course, then as you get into this, once you're on the journey, you find that the river only gets wider and deeper the more, you know, the further down the river you go, and it's just like never ending. So
then the other thing is that the importance of small groups. How do you use small groups now in your life? Like, are you're still a member of?
Yeah, and interestingly enough, when I so professionally, I spent most of my career in the executive search space in one form or another.
Mm-hmm.
And when my business went off the cliff in 2009 with the economic collapse, you know, following the housing debacle of 2008, 2009, and I decided to reinvent myself, even my pursuing of a coaching track incorporated a lot of what we call mastermind groups. So it's even coaching in small group sessions. And then ultimately, Nos Lumine, which I'm sure we're going to get to talk about this morning, was predicated on the idea of the Curcio weekly small group experience. And so I've been a small group guy, and it's been a big part of my life even today. In fact, I understand that Curcio doesn't exist in Columbus. We have
Cum Christo, yeah,
which is ecumenical, which is wonderful. Again, I came from a ecumenical household, if you will. But I, at one point, decided I was going to start my own Curcio group. So I just recruited five people who I wanted to get to know better and experience the journey with, and I just started my own. I found the prayer card that we got introduced to back in the early 80s, and we just used the same structure.
Now, you're a parishioner at St. Matthew's. You were in a small group there, too,
yeah,
I think.
I'm going to say it maybe goes back to 2005 or so, and I forget the name of the experience, but we had, on a parish-wide basis, we had, at the peak, I think maybe 20 small groups operating in different places, households. I was leading a group out of in my conference room, and then as that whole group experience kind of faded away, we just maintained our own group, and it repopulated with different people. But it was basically a weekly study of spiritual books. And so we would meet after Mass on Friday mornings, and we would read and discuss a book every week.
The importance of small groups, you can't minimize it. I mean, it's really an essential part of the formation of missionary disciples. And, you know, as we go forward as a church, really incorporating more often small groups in our lives, not just in the sense of a support group, which it sounds like the one at St. Matthew's was, where you kind of come together, share experiences, and maybe undergo some formation together.
Well, that started out, it was an effort to do a pre-read and study of the upcoming readings for mm-hmm. Sunday. So I don't know that I would call it a support group as much yeah. as a spiritual.
More formational.
If you want
then,
to call it spiritual yeah. support, journey support.
Yeah.
But not support in terms of, you know, people who are having problems.
Wasn't so much sharing.
Wasn't healing as much as it was
strengthening.
Yeah. Yeah. Formation.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, you've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today has been Jim Gernetzky. Let's end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, enlighten us to see Christ's presence in our life, how he is at work. Teach us to follow him. Strengthen us and form us, especially in our friendships and in our small communities and small groups. We ask, O Lord, that you continue to bless us, bless Jim and his family, and bless this day. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And until next time, peace and all good.